We are back here on Beyond the Fairway, presented by Genesis. I am with my co-host, Douglas Smith, and we just got back from PGA Championship. But before we start to talk about PGA Championship, let's give a shout-out to a guest that we have coming in speaking with us, Solomon Wilcox, former Cincinnati Bengals safety, and also a radio personality on Sirius XM. And we're going to talk about the ins and outs of football, life, etc., general. Either way, it's going to be a good conversation. We're going to learn something. So, Douglas Fresh.
Yo, what's up, man?
Tell me.
Hello.
How was the week at PGA Genesis? Did everything turn out the way you wanted? Did you make money on the side on your bets? Did you see JT winning? What's popping?
Well, I don't know what PGA Genesis is, but I appreciate the extra plug for Genesis. Man, what a week, though. Will and I got a chance to go up to Oklahoma, my first time in the entire state. I don't know if it was yours, Will, but that was my first time in Tulsa.
First time.
An amazing experience there.
Lots
for the
of
week.
First times.
We got to go to the Greenwood District, Black Wall Street. That was amazing. You know, my mom had told me stories about Black Wall Street and this era where black folks were striving and we had a community. And
shout out, and before you get started, shout out to Tiffany Crutcher, who is Dr. Tiffany Crutcher, who is part of Black Wall Street, part of educating the people that come visit Tulsa on what Tulsa used to be.
Yeah, and the Terrence Crutcher Foundation. Her twin brother was stolen from us years ago in 2016. Unarmed man shot, needless, senseless police violence. But while we were there, Will, you know, the love, the respect that we received from the city of Tulsa, the state of Oklahoma, was fantastic. I mean, we got some of the best lift rides you could have, stories galore. We got to, you know, participate in Beyond the Green again there with the PGA of America. And I just want to say that Seth Waugh is my homie. At the end of the day, Seth Waugh is my guy. If anybody got anything negative to say about his ass, you call me first.
Yeah, but also you can't not give a shout out to people that make Seth Waugh job a bit easier, which is Rachel Melendez, maybe head program director for PJ Reach and PJ
yes.
Works.
Yeah,
again, you just
that.
Mentioned Beyond the Green is something you and I hosted. We did this our third, fourth one, I want to believe.
Third
one. Everyone's been a success. Shout out to also PGD Global, Nisha and Seema Sadaker, for producing that event. But, you know, every time that we're there, we learn something new about the game of golf. We are in position to grow the game. And that's what kind of makes everything so so easy for us and comes so natural and authentic. But I want
to
get your take, Doug, on
give it to
JT.
Me. Man, wow.
I want to get with the ending of everything between Mito, Pereira.
All right, hold on. I'm going to give it to you. Brian, okay. Get the beep ready.
Yes.
Turn into the back nine come Sunday. That's when the tournament starts to me. I did not see that shit coming. Let me say it one more time. I didn't see it coming, Will. I didn't see JT with the opportunity to hoist the Wanamaker. I thought Mito Pereira was going to take it back to Santiago, Chile. You know, so proud and happy for what he was doing and what he was going to accomplish. Hadn't had a first-time PGA winner since 91 in John Daly. And you called it Vandeveld-esque. I think that's a little strong.
It was a low-calorie John Vandeveld.
It's a low-calorie John Vandeveld.
It was.
But did you see the swing that he put together on the 18th hole? That was a nervous, scared, terrified, just make contact.
That's the body stop. I thought he was, you know, man, held up. I didn't know what happened. He just stopped. Like, I didn't know what it was. But I hate to say it though, and no offense to Mito, he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready for that position. I mean, if you think about it, again, he has three Korn Ferry Tour wins. That's his second time appearing in a major at all in general.
So,
I mean, but he just wasn't ready. You know, he just wasn't ready. He hasn't had enough enough scar tissue, so to speak.
I'll tell you who else wasn't ready. Will Zalatoris non-putting ass. Have you seen all the replays of Will Zalatoris' putter blade and what it does
on
4 and 5 footers? I don't know if you can teach that or should teach it, but Will, you got arm lock to try to stabilize everything, and you still got the putter doing this.
Man, that
Will,
putter was pop locking. It seemed like it was a game. How many times can I move off the line and back on the line in 0.1 milliseconds?
He's playing hide and seek with his face angle. Like, uh-oh, here it comes.
That man did an MC Hammer. Whoa.
But that's the thing. The sad part is the putting is really not what held him back during the playoff. He birdied the first hole, didn't birdie the second hole, and then Justin said, give it to me. And big shouts out to Justin Thomas, man. He went and took it. He stole that championship.
He stole it because he was trailed by seven strokes.
I don't even know the numbers. It was a lot.
Put it like this. Trailed by seven. What's the stat I saw? Trailed by seven entering in the day, which five majors prior, the winner has came down from seven strokes. I don't know if I wrote that right, but I know what I was trying to say.
I don't know if you wrote that right, but
either way, JT. So you remember going back to the Players Championship, Doug, and when he was on the 18th hole, and he did. Me and you had a huge back and forth.
Not this one that we just had. The year prior.
I said last year. What'd I say?
I'm just making sure people understand because the last Players Championship. Cam Smith won.
Yeah.
We're going back to his win.
Well,
yeah,
okay, last year, you and I had a big debate on the 18th hole.
Yes, he did.
He did a bullet draw down the fairway. And you said it was a snap hook.
It was a snap hook 5-iron. Look at his face.
It wasn't a three wood. It wasn't a snap hook. But did you see the 18th in regulation, the 72nd hole, when he did a bullet slap cut, whatever it was. It was ugly on the shot link, but it was beautiful in its results.
I think that's, we need to take that. Like it can be ugly sometimes as long as the results.
But you thinking it was purposeful is what I'm trying to get to, Doug. It was purposeful.
That one was purposeful. I will agree there. The 5-wood off 18 at Sawgrass snap toe hook.
It wasn't a snap toe hook. So well, either way, let's get into this Solomon Wilcott interview. And as he joined us on Beyond the Fairway, we'll argue about this later. Solomon Wilcott.
See, Solomon, you played in my neck of the woods, man.
What's that?
I'm from Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, that's the only team we could root for growing up. Shit.
What, were the Bengals?
Yeah.
That's right. You're only an hour away, right?
Or the Colts. That was it. That was our team.
Yeah, when the Colts first got there, they were horrible too, man.
Yeah, so
they weren't that good when they first arrived and ended.
We didn't have that much to pick from.
No.
In college basketball. So
that's right. No, you got that. I covered college basketball for years, man. I covered the tournament when Bob Huggins and obviously Patino was at Kentucky. Damn. And Tubby Smith
that's
first.
Huggins was in Cincinnati.
Years. Yeah, they were hot.
Tubby's my uncle.
They were hot. Is that right?
Yeah.
Tell me good people, man. Yeah, he was really good to me. Yeah, he was good.
Tubby's the best, man.
And Kentucky had a run, dude. They had like 10 McDonald All-Americans. Went to the finals three straight years, man.
What year are you talking about? Is that Ron Mercer year or what year is that?
Past Ron Mercer.
Mercer was there, but he was like a backup. But Mercer was front line, the guys, right?
He was in the middle, though. That was like back in Patino era. Like,
yeah, it was in Patino era. Because Patino went to back-to-back championships.
Yeah.
He won one, lost one to Arizona. 96,
97.
And then Tubby won it the next year.
98.
So it was 3 years in a row. Mm-hmm. But Mercer was on those teams.
Yeah, he left. That was like, I mean, that's like I said, Kentucky basketball.
Man. Antoine Walker.
So that's Tony Delk then.
Tony Delk was all on of them.
Yeah.
That's all of them.
Yeah.
That's all of them were on that
Evans
team.
Nasir
Muhammad.
Yeah. Nazi was on that
team. Yeah, Tony Delk.
That's Will
Antoine Steve. Walker. Antoine Walker is on the team. Derek Anderson. D.A. was nice, man.
D.A. was nice. Was hot. D.A. played with Ron Mercer.
That's right.
That was memory lane.
That's my era, though, Will.
That was eighth grade all over again.
You know what I'm saying? It really was. And then when Tubby got there, man, like, then it was like, you know, the Tayshaun Prince era, et cetera.
That's right. Sorry, we can go.
All right, we're already recording. As you guys can see, Solomon Wilcott's in here going Beyond the Fairway with Will Lowry and myself today. Solomon, man, what's happening? Brian, I know you just got out of here, man. You should just stay for the episode. But Solomon, what's up, man?
Will, Doug, hey, man, it's going great. Just finished 3 hours over on SiriusXM NFL Radio doing the show. And now I get to hang out with you guys for a little bit.
Is that opening drive?
Yeah, it's called The Opening Drive on SiriusXM NFL Radio. It's the morning drive show, a three-hour show. The title of the show is The Opening Drive.
So it's about golf.
Yeah, it's about golf.
It's an opening drive of a football game.
I can't compute these.
But
these,
it works for golf. It works for golf.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like I compute when people talk about, you know, the cross references to drive, and even when I watch football, they're like, man, 10 yards away. I'm like, man, just a pitch away? Why can't we get that first down?
10 yards, right? 30 feet.
That's quick. We're a lob wedge away from a touchdown? Come on, man.
I'm going to tell you something, though. I know you guys, I don't know if you've ever done this. Standing on a tee box at a country club when they announce your name and you're hitting the opening drive of an 18-hole round. I did it at Riviera Country Club.
They announced your name.
Hey, wait a minute, man. I'm not trying to do all that. But, you know, it changes the whole perspective, you know, when all eyes are on you and you either go hit it down the middle or shank one somewhere in the parking lot. I ain't going out like that, just so you guys know.
That's why I'm a big proponent of, you know, I argue with a lot of athletes saying, I don't understand how you get nervous playing football or basketball, because it's a reactionary sport. When we get to golf, man, you got them little demons on your shoulders, man, and that ball is not moving.
Ball don't give a damn.
Hey, I don't know if you guys have seen, I think it's on Apple. They've got the documentary on Greg Norman, right, and his epic collapses in multiple tournaments. He was one of the great golfers, right, of the 80s or 90s, pre-Tiger Woods. He was like this great golfer.
Absolutely.
I couldn't finish out that fourth round. He would have so many more green. He never won the green jacket, by the way.
No, never. Never. Was, you know, you can't, you're not allowed to talk about Greg Norman right now. We're not allowed to talk about Greg Norman.
Greg Norman is so much trouble over here in the golf world.
He's the leader of this live sports movement, this you know, competing league with the PGA Tour. Here, Solomon. So, you know, we're not allowed to talk. We can talk about his blunders and misfortunes. But
that's
can't
what
really
we were talking about.
Right. Exactly.
Preface that. Yeah. Because he's used to losing, Will.
We were talking about the pressure that people feel in golfers, and that's where I was going with
it. Yeah. Right now, like Greg Norman reminds us of Trump in the XFL. Back in the 80s.
With
USFL.
Field?
Sorry, USFL.
Worse than Phil right now?
Ooh. Yes. Right now in this moment? Absolutely.
Worse than Phil?
I don't know about that.
That's a good statement, though. Solomon, real quick, completely off topic, but on topic for golfers. The NFL has had multiple competing leagues, right? So how has the NFL kind of stayed the course and not given a damn about these leagues like we are seeing with LIV versus the PGA Tour?
I'll give you a great example. You know, right now the USFL has come back. But when it was here, real time in 84, guys like Herschel Walker played in that league. Guys like Reggie White started their careers in that league. Mm-hmm. Steve Young, Anthony Carter. I could go down
these
the
are
list
legends.
Of
I didn't legends know Steve Young. That's
started
nice.
Their careers playing in the USFL. And, we could talk about those players when we were talking NFL. And we knew those players would ultimately – end up playing in the NFL because that's every boy's dream, right? So if you talk about every golfer's dream, every kid right now who's playing somewhere, their dream is to play on the PGA Tour, okay? Right. Now they may have to take another road before they get there, but that is the destination. And I think if you're a PGA guy, you got to be confident in that. And I wouldn't get lost in the weeds of worrying about some other upstart or anything like that. Listen, In the world of capitalism, more is better. All is good.
Well, speaking of capitalism, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Trump was leading the USFL at the time, correct?
He was an owner in the NFL of the New Jersey Generals. He did become the commissioner and then immediately drove it into the ground. they tanked. Once he became the leader, because he was trying to move them from spring football, where the league had been thriving. And I think it's a really good question on your part. And he wanted to move them to the fall. And the other owners were like, no, that's not what we wanted to do. And he was insistent on doing it. And that's when it folded, because you're not going to be able to compete real time with the NFL and have the fan base go sit and watch a USFL game in the fall. Outside of watching an NFL game. And so they did win the lawsuit, by the way, the USFL did. They were awarded $1.
Ah, That's handsome. That's fitting.
That's a handsome reward.
So I guess you would say like Greg Norman is the new modern day Trump in a way. I mean, is that a stretch?
That might be a stretch.
I'm trying. But people will argue that. People argue that's probably one of his first entities that he ran to the ground.
Yeah, listen, I think what people should know is that Greg Norman was a very successful businessman.
He is, yes, absolutely.
While he was playing on the PGA Tour. And he couldn't win out a lot of these major tournaments. But the guy was making bank in terms of his professional life. And so that's when, you know, a lot of people, if you know the history of the PGA Tour, he was a guy that banked a lot of money, maybe didn't win a lot of the major tournaments. People started to question, okay, why are you playing? Are you really about the integrity of the sport, holding up the history of the sport? You should be out there chasing. And even Jack said it himself. He was like, look, you can't begrudge a man for making his money. I think you have to be able to parse what he has done. And I think he's been good for the game in some ways, very challenging for the game in a lot of ways.
So, Solomon, it seems like you are very versed and well-read in golf. Like, how did you get your start in the game?
Oh, it was cool, yeah. It wasn't until I got to college that I first started playing golf. My stepfather, he took me out for a round, and I played, and I was horrible, but I was hooked. You know, I just loved all the new – it was kind of like you're playing chess, but you're on this big field, and every shot and every moment – is very strategic, right? And it's very, and every move, right, is very costly. And I was used to playing basketball where when you play basketball, it's a lot of trash talking. Mm. So I love the contrast of golf, the gentleman's game, not a lot of trash talking, even though guys do it now. But back then when you first broke in, wasn't a lot of trash talking. And golf is a beautiful game, man. It's where I go now for my peace of mind, for to hang out with my buddies. We smoke a cigar. We play a round of golf. Talk a little bit of trash. Gentleman's way. Golf is a beautiful game.
I was going to say, talking trash. I mean, you can't hang with me and Will. That's about all we do. But I like the golf trash talk, Will, because it's subtle. Right,
it's
like somebody might hit it in the trees, and you're like, man, that was a great swing, though.
Yes, yeah,
great swing. Because you know, had plenty of speed.
But you know the thing, like you have to be really very specific who you talk trash to, especially in the football world. Because I've seen Jerry Rice. When I talk trash to Jerry Rice, he gets into a different dimension. And
that's
all right, Jerry, you know we're still friends. Are we still friends after this?
No.
Yeah.
No.
No, we're not.
No.
So, you football guys, man, it's not as subtle trash. I don't know if that carries over to golf. I'm not sure.
No, man. We look, dude. It might get physical, so you got to be careful.
I believe that.
If the wrong switch goes off, you know what I'm saying? You know what, what they say, let sleeping giants lie.
Exactly.
Some of these guys, you don't want to wake them up like that.
The most physical altercations I've seen on golf course was amongst football players, Doug. NFL guys. I'm not gonna say their names, but I may have seen Eric Davis go
get
at
real.
It.
Get real, man.
It gets bad.
Real. Real.
Solomon, who you playing with when you out there and out and about, man? You got any folks that's consistently in your foursomes?
Oh, Merrill Hodges, that's my dude. He and I, we play, I don't want to say every day, but every chance we get. But that's because we belong to the same country club. You know, we don't live down in Florida. We don't live in Windermere. You know, we don't live out in Scottsdale, Arizona. So
easy now. Hold on now.
And no, I lied. Those places are cool. That's all good. I'm just saying that I live in a place where we get a real winter, so we don't get to play all year round. But we belong to a very wonderful club. It's championship-style golf. But when winter sets in, we kind of have to hang them up. Spring and summer comes around, we start to get back out. And
where are you again, Solomon? Where are you?
I live in Cincinnati.
You live in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I know you played there, but you hung. Yeah. I didn't realize you hung your hat there in the top of the South, Will, Midwest, whatever.
I started my career in local television at the local NBC affiliate. We were talking earlier, I covered college basketball in this area, covered the Reds a lot at spring training and through the season. And obviously covered the Bengals, worked in local television at a local NBC affiliate before going over to ESPN. So I just stayed in the area and love it here.
I mean, well,
Go ahead. Well, let me ask this real quick, because I find this question really interesting. You're a professional athlete. You transition to the mic in front of the camera. I want to talk a little bit about what are some of the steps you took to get from the league now to where you are today.
You mean why I didn't get the $375 million contract while I was still playing?
Basically.
You were
hot. Oh, you were hot on Facebook at the time. You were hot on what's the other one? What's the first social media?
MySpace.
You were hot on MySpace at the time.
I went to work as an unpaid intern at the local NBC affiliate. I remember logging highlights for our news anchor so that when he did the highlights, I had to log the plays in the game, watch the Reds game. I'd log the home runs, log the pitch count so he'd know what the pitch count was when he called the home run, write it in his highlights. I went from there to becoming a writer, then a producer, and then I became a reporter and sports anchor.
So this is all post NFL.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. All post. Oh wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you went from NFL to winning an Emmy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice.
No, the Emmy came years later after working in the basement of a local NBC affiliate, and then I went to ESPN where I was the sideline reporter for Sunday Night Football. Worked with Joe Theismann, Mike Patrick, Paul McGuire, and then won an Emmy as a sports reporter working for the worldwide leader at ESPN.
Well, who doesn't love ESPN, Will? I just, I also work for ESPN, too. I'm just saying that. Not ESPN, too. I work for ESPN Plus. You know, I'm not there yet. I'm streaming.
You're in the family.
Hey, but from your seat, though, as we switch back to golf, and there, especially being there in Cincinnati, do you feel like you are kind of this, I want to say a beacon for kids in the game of golf, but do you feel some responsibility to help grow the game as a black man that does enjoy just being out there on grass chasing the ball around?
You know, I think it's a really good question. I remember it was 97. Tiger Woods is getting ready to play in the Masters. I think it was going to be his second year. We kind of sensed that this could be historical, that this could be a groundbreaking moment for the game of golf, for minorities. And so there's a gentleman here in Cincinnati who had Jimmy Woods. You can look him up. The guy had played in – he was a historically great African-American golfer who was prohibited from playing on the PGA Tour because of his race. Mm. He had the talent but was not afforded the opportunity to play on the PGA Tour. And so I went and interviewed him after watching Tiger sink the final putt on that Sunday to win it. I had already arranged to go and interview Jimmy Woods, who still to this day owns course records all around the country. He was phenomenal. So I went and interviewed him to talk about Tiger Woods, to talk about his dream that had been deferred, right? Mm. Imagine you have a dream to grow up and be Tiger Woods. You have the talent to be Tiger Woods. But because of a system that you live in, it ain't going to allow you to be who you are. And with a heavy heart, we did that interview, and he cried as he answered the questions. And he said, I'm not mad at him, though. I see myself in Tiger Woods, and I love what he's doing. And I got to see it before I left this earth, because this guy was on an oxygen tank doing this interview. And it was one of the most moving interviews that I've ever done with anyone. But I saw the game of golf grow. I saw it open up to kids from urban communities, lesser background communities, where prior to that, it was really a country club sport. If your family wasn't a member of a country club, most likely you weren't playing the game of golf.
Hey, Solomon, you got me interested in Jimmy Woods. Where can we find that interview?
Go Google him. You'd have to go YouTube maybe find this thing.
That interview's on VHS, Will.
With the long remote control.
But you know what? We crossed over a lot. I'm able to find a lot of the work that it did before a lot of this technology even existed. And then you can go and you can YouTube and find a lot of that work. So thank God for archives, man. Thanks for that kind of technology to preserve some of that historical work. Because it was a groundbreaking interview. But that's kind of how I go back to when you talk about the historically how you categorize the game of golf. I think the world of golf is pre-Tiger Woods, post Tiger Woods, particularly as it pertains to minorities around the world.
Absolutely,
he was on the head, didn't he?
No, he was a key focal point, man. Every black entertainer I know in the space started when Tiger the Monday after he won.
Yeah. That's right.
The iPhones was advanced. Like, let me get that Nike.
Is that a wood?
The Pinnacles or the Pro V? Well, it wasn't Pro V. It was professionals back then.
Hey, then I heard one guy say, "Ooh, this Pinnacle got my name on it. I'm keeping this one."
That's back when people played Slazenger.
That's when Maxfly was hot.
Hey! Women started playing the game too. Let's give them some
credit. That is true. That is true.
I don't know her, but I'm sure there was some woman who said, "My name is also on that Big Bertha club."
I get it. Everybody talking about Aunt Big Bertha. Everybody talking about that. Hey, so there's a rumor. Now I don't know how much of it is true. I hear two sides, but there's a rumor that the Callaway Club was the driver Big Bertha was named after Jim Dent's mother. They called her Big Bertha.
And Jimmy Dent. I covered him on the tour. I covered him on the senior tour. He could hit it, bro.
He can hit it.
No question.
He was one of the first guys that Callaway has signed. Now, I don't know if the Big Bertha's resembling a family member.
That's what I heard.
I can see the correlation there.
We all have a Big Bertha in our family. Couple weeks ago, we had Jerry Bailey, one of the Hall of Fame jockeys for horse racing. Yeah. And Doug and I picked his brain. We picked his brain about how
he didn't pick the right horse.
He did not pick the right horse. However, it was definitely informational and was informal that we were trying to find ways of increasing our pockets, get our pockets fat.
So
now we got to ask you, because we are coming up upon the next NFL season. Yeah. Is there a long shot that I can put some money on, Vegas odds, on a team that we can probably, you know, have who may not be the typical, you know, winner, who may not be a winner, but could probably, you know, win in a long shot?
So you want, say, last year, Cincinnati Bengals?
Yes, that's exactly what I want. I didn't want to say it, but yes.
You're looking for who could be the Cincinnati Bengals.
Is there Detroit Lions, but not Detroit Lions out there?
That's you. I'm not leaning in that direction. I like it though, but it would have to be a team that wasn't in the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not only get into the playoffs in 2022, but go deep into the postseason.
Okay.
I think that team could be, say, a team like the Miami Dolphins. I think the Miami Dolphins could be one of those teams. The Chargers could be one of those teams. Chargers didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, but they barely made it though.
They didn't make it.
Okay.
I already laid out the criteria and you agreed to it.
You're right.
Laid it out and you said, okay.
That's how you gotta talk to Will.
I give it to him and he would say, but my English teacher told me everything that comes before the word but don't count.
That is true.
So you negated everything I said by using your word but.
And Doug, that's coming from somebody who majored in English literature. English literature. Yes.
So that's why I laid it out first. So whatever I say can stand after.
That is true. Absolutely.
So if you didn't make the playoffs the year before and you make the playoffs the next year and go deep into the postseason, that's a long shot. It's not Rich Strike. It's not an 84-1. You know, long shot, right?
True.
It is a long shot. So those are two teams. The Dolphins are one of those teams that added enough. I think they have an offense that's quarterback friendly. And I would go with the Jets, man, because they had a great draft. I think their young quarterback is going to be dynamic in this.
But they're still the Jets, though.
They're still the Jets. And they got to go up against Buffalo. And they got to go up against the Patriots. And so I'm not giving them that. But don't be surprised if the Jets are going to be much more of a tougher out, okay?
Okay, I can put my money on Jets.
The AFC is loaded. That's what you should know. The Denver Broncos, too, with Russell Wilson. I don't know if it's a long shot, but they didn't make the playoffs last year. And they could be a team that can make some noise if they get into the postseason.
Now, how surprised were you that Brady said, "I'm coming back"?
I quit for an hour and a half. You know, I know people on the inside, right?
Right.
So we had heard that he just didn't want to play in Tampa anymore. anymore. He still he wanted to retire from Tampa, that he still wanted to play. That's kind of what we heard. And that's why when the announcement came out that he retired, there was a lot of stuff around it because we knew that he wanted out from the team, but maybe wanted to keep playing.
Yeah.
I think once he got out there, he saw that he couldn't shake loose from the team. They were going to hold him to the contract because he had another year.
I feel like his golf game was trash. He just played a couple rounds and was like, I didn't make this, but that wasn't it though.
It was the honeydew list his wife had him to do. He's like, hell no, I got to go out and get paprika and honey.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
There's no way I'm doing that.
So I think there were a number of things, right? And he got out there and you said, look, they weren't going to let him out of his contract. They were going to hold him to it. So he would have had to sit out a year to go play for another team. So he just said, look, I'll come back to Tampa. And there are a lot of worse things. If you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster, it's loaded.
It's a pretty good team.
Yeah, so, you know, he's got a shot of winning a Super Bowl. And I think he and Byron Leftwich have a thing.
I was going to say,
and I think B.A., let's face it, I know B.A. didn't like what was said, but I think everybody felt like they could move further and faster without B.A.
Hey, Doug, Doug don't know shit about football. This is funny. This was funny. Doug said, yeah, the thing. Doug don't know shit about football, bro.
I just co-signed it, Doug. Why you call me out? All right, fair. No, earned that.
Hey, Doug. Doug's like a quarterback. It wouldn't change. I went to the bank. I don't want a quarterback. What are you talking about?
Easy.
I don't want a quarterback. It's all right, Doug. After we're done here, man, you're going to know a thing or two.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's not that I don't watch football. It's just that I care too much about golf. There's so many nuances in course data that I got to absorb.
What's the handicap looking like these days, Doug?
I played in the U.S. Open qualifier 2 days ago and shot 2 over par. So,
go ahead, bro. Okay.
We can move on that conversation.
Shot WD in his U.S. Open qualifier.
WD?
Yeah, that was because I was drunk.
He was drunk.
All right, Salma, we got to get you out of here. The only way that we know how, you'll never get this question anywhere but right here, Beyond the Fairway, presented by Genesis. You're going to go play golf with 4 rappers. Okay, y'all playing a 5 balls. 5 of y'all out there. I don't care if they dead or alive, they play golf, don't play golf. Who you pull up to the golf course with?
Dude, hey, number one is going to be Biggie. It's going to be Biggie.
Storyteller.
Got to have Biggie. Got to have, you know, I love a wordsmith. So you got to have Tupac, right?
Mm. That misdirection on a wordsmith, Tupac. Okay, go ahead.
Wordsmith, right?
Okay.
A builder of words.
Mm. Nice.
And look, my other guy, man, who I just always love the dude because I think he's just straight cold-blooded, Mos Def.
Ooh. Mos Def.
That's the first Mos Def.
Mos Def.
I know. That's
yeah,
a
I like.
That's because y'all bring. Y'all gotta have somebody who come on screaming, yelling, edgy. Mos Def gonna break your brain.
But that new wave of rap right now, I'm not the biggest fan because I go Def right after hearing one song.
I agree.
Mos Def is solid. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you got one more though.
You got one more. We got one more playing the foursome.
Playing a 4 ball.
Oh man,
tough.
Oh god, who would be my next? It's gonna be from the hip hop era,
the real hip hop era.
Yeah, man, that could be anyone from. I'm trying to think. Who's my guy?
Would you put Nas on that list?
Oh yeah, Nas is tight. I love Nas. Yeah, okay, yeah. Let's make it Nas.
See, I can play with Nas nowadays. He got too much money not to play with nowadays.
Yeah, Nas is going to increase my pockets too, just like I got these NFL picks. I believe it.
Yeah, no, Nas is tight. But, you know, hey, look, Jay-Z, if I threw Jay-Z in, I think that would really do it. It'd better break it because Jay-Z is just bad boy.
I like it.
Let's throw Jay-Z on that. Don't look at Jay-Z as just a rapper. He's just too big to even give him.
He's a businessman. He's a businessman.
He's a mogul.
Exactly.
He's
that's a mogul. Right. He's the industry, bro.
He really is.
Well, Jay Z said the rap
is a foursome.
I put your house on my wall.
What did he say, Dougie?
In his last release, he said to people out there, "I got your house, your little mansion. Yeah. I got it hanging on my wall."
That's right. That means, that means,
My art collection is worth more than the house you live in.
That's right.
I got balloons.
I did find it. One of his hottest lines. He was like, you know, the young kids that are waving money. I'm paraphrasing. Are waving money on Instagram. He said that's not money to us.
Yeah. That's not money over here.
Yeah, that's not money over here. Yeah.
Yeah. That's loose change.
I might not know the NFL, but I got some Jay-Z quotes.
He sure does, and he won't be faking the funk on that one.
Hey, Solomon, we appreciate you stepping in here, going beyond the fairway right here, Golf Channel NBC, presented by Genesis. Tell the people what you're doing, where you at, how to find you. Let us know, man. Where you at?
First of all, you can take a listen on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Channel 88, the opening drive. That's where I'm living from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Go to @Solomon's Wisdom on Twitter. The same for Instagram. And take a listen to the Believe in Bengal podcast, man. You can catch it on the Sirius XM app as well. It's dope. Listen, man, me and Adam Pac-Man Jones giving you all the love for Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, I love Pac-Man. You did that right, though.
That was perfect. Yeah, we got to work on that, Will.
We're not there yet.
When you're with a vet, it's different.
If you can't plug yourself, who can you plug?
Nobody. Right?
Nobody.
Come on, man.
Nobody. Beyond the Fairway is presented by Genesis Motor America and the first ever GV70. Dynamic design and exhilarating performance. Make the game your own. And shout out to Solomon coming in here, going beyond the fairway with Will Lowry and myself. Man, you know what's interesting, Will? How Solomon can, you know, you talk about the competing leagues and how the USFL, all these different football leagues that popped up. And then here we go with golf. Fast forward years later, now golf's got a competing league and this LIV stuff. And you know what? I'm going to shout Phil Mickelson out. You should have played last week. I'm kind of upset. You just should have done it. Controlled your own narrative, Phil. Take my advice. But thank you so much to Solomon for coming in here, Will. But we didn't get to talk about it, Will, earlier. Is Tiger damn Woods. I'm wearing a shirt. Tiger Woods makes the cut. Number one player in the world didn't make the cut, but the old man made the cut. But then he threw the deuces on after Saturday's round, Will. How did that make you feel?
I mean, I'm cool. In order to keep him and preserve his body so we can get more of Tiger, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with him WDing. I mean, kind of remind me when I WD'd in the U.S. Open qualifier. I get it. We just have to preserve our body for other events.
Yeah, he's not going to have to write that letter, though. Yeah. Dear USGA, I'm sorry, Will Lowry.
You know, my arm was aching. My back, something was hurting at that time. Oh, okay. But I did not quit.
Your ego was bruised. That's what happened.
That's what it was. My ego was severely over par. However, I appreciate that because I need him to get ready for a course that is less hilly. St. Andrews is flat. Do whatever he has to do. Stretch if he has to. You know, do some Bikram yoga. I don't care. Just get ready so we can see the essence of Tiger Woods, his true essence at one of his favorite courses. Bikram, I'm okay with that.
Bikram yoga and St. Andrews. Never heard the two.
It's okay. That's what we connect, folks.
In a similar sentence. Will, let's go back, though, Will, because, yes, we were in Tulsa. We got to play some night golf. That was fantastic. Shout out to Bradford Wilson, the most moisturized man in golf. Will, night golf was dope. I think that needs to be something that we see, you know, more places across the country, because it just gives you another avenue to play this game.
Yeah, that night golf can fall. It is golf, but I think that can fall in the category of off-course facility, you know. I think it can fall in the off-course facility. I really do.
But it's a golf course.
But that's more of an entertainment silo. An introduction silo. Par 3 night golf is more of an entertainment introduction silo more than actual golf in general. I think that can be considered off course field.
Well, regardless, it was dope. It needs to be something that happened. And whatever we do, we got to preserve par 3 golf, especially with the night lights. Now, Will, I saw something over the weekend coming out of the PGA Championship that broke yesterday that really surprised me.
And we can flash, I think Golf Week broke it. Golf Week there at USA Today. Jack Nicklaus is being sued by Jack Nicklaus. How is this even a real thing? You know what? We're going to go old school, Will. I'm giving him the shank of the week. We haven't done it in a while. We haven't done it.
In pre-production, you say nothing about no damn shank of the week. Or
I'm
going to
call it a shank of the week. I'm giving Jack Nicklaus or Jack Nicklaus the shank of the week for being sued by the Nicklaus companies. That's all I got to say. Look up this article. It's fascinating. I don't even understand how this is even a reality, but Nicklaus companies are suing Jack Nicklaus. The company is suing the name. Very interesting stuff. Shank of the week.
Does the legend Jack Nicklaus get shank of the week? Dang, you just shank. You bring shank of the week back. Hold on, you bring shank of the week back impromptu, and you give it to the legend, the great.
Yeah, I'm not. Dude, nobody's exempt.
Bro,
you do You do some shankless stuff. You don't get shanked. Hey, as always, we appreciate you rocking with us. Doug Smith, Will Lowey right here, Beyond the Fairway, presented by Genesis Golf Channel, NBC Sports. So many people to thank. Congratulations to Justin Thomas getting his second PGA Championship. He's won 15 times now, two of those majors. Solomon Wilcots, thank you so much coming in here, going Beyond the Fairway with Will and me. And you never know where we'll be next, so don't stop. Follow. Keep it rolling. Beyond the Fairway, Genesis. What's up, Will? It was good to see you, man. It really was.
It was
like in the flesh, not in this damn box right here. It's like
I want to make a note. Every time I attended the PGA Championship, Justin Thomas won. I just want to make that note. There's something. And I was one of the individuals that asked a question when he won it here at Quail Hollow here in Charlotte.
Asked the question about what?
In the media when his post conference interview. It was kind of cool. I'll see if I can find that clip. But
we'll have to go. We'll go check
I think
that.
I have something to do with him winning, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I do.
Hey, white people, everybody needs a friend with dreads. Justin Scott Will.
JT. Well, give it a year because we're going to be bald from it.